And hopefully you can pass it to someone next week. I just have one other announcement. I was thinking about this yesterday. I mean, we are such a prayer-driven church that I know I don't have to say this every week, so this might be the last time for a while, because I'm just going to depend on you. Let's pray for all these people this week. There's so many here that need it every single day. This is an important favor. Please don't leave it with you. Take it with you. It's important. All right. Does anybody else have any joys or concerns? Well, let's ring the bell.
Come all who would walk by faith, gather in the house of the Lord.
We are called by Christ to give witness to God's love in our heart.
We are called to proclaim to the doubting world, that Christ truly lives.
In our hearts and in our lives, the message of God's mercy remains true.
Then let's raise our voices as one in adoration and song.
Blessed
be the name of the Lord. Let's continue with the opening prayer. Most loving and gracious Lord, you have called us to have faith in you, even when the world around us denies that any hope exists. Touch our hearts anew, Lord, and fill us with your joy and hope. In Christ we pray. Amen. Now we'll sing hymn number 600, Wonderful Words of Life.
That is wonderful that you couldn't hear me. It wasn't that I wasn't singing, though. Used to be a kind of a joke in the churches I serve. I always gave instructions to the person running the PA to turn my mic off during the hymns. Well, once in a while, they would slip up. So I learned I could not trust the PA operator to silence my mic during the singing. So sometimes it was awkward, but I found a way to turn my mic off so people didn't have to have that experience. My wife, she doesn't get to sit beside me very often in church, but when she does, she gets a taste of my singing ability, which isn't great, for sure. I think one of the motivations for the hymns that I picked for the service today was I always try to match the songs with the theme of the service, but I started reading an old book written by E. Stanley Jones. Copyright is 1930, so you know that is a really, really old book. And it's called The Christ of Every Road. And in it, he talks about how our Christian faith, our Christian experience, if it's genuine, It brings life to us and makes all the difference. And certainly this song that talks about the wonderful words of life is true to his thinking and his idea. And I hope we can all experience more and more of the life that Christ offers to us. This morning, we're going to follow our usual pattern. The chorus after the Lord's Prayer is number 334, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. I invite you to be in an attitude of prayer. Pray silently for those concerns that God has placed on your heart. After our silent prayers, we'll have our pastoral prayer and share the Lord's Prayer together, and then the chorus. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together, please. Heavenly Father, your Son said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's our prayer this morning that we each have experienced the life that only Jesus can give, and that we might grow in our faith and in our commitment and in our passion to serve Him, and that life might be made real in us and even through us, that others might come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. We thank you that we can be here this morning. We thank you that we can share together in worship and in Christian fellowship, and that as we are together, you would speak to us anew through your word and through your messenger and through the acts of worship that are a part of our service this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your love, all the provision you make for us and for others. We thank you for our families and for our friends, for this church family, for the communities where we live, the rich blessings that are ours. We thank you for your Son and the mercy and grace and forgiveness that we have received through Him. Thank you for the blessings of life. We're mindful of others that are less fortunate than us. We offer our prayers. We pray for those who are named on our prayer list. We pray for those who are named in our hearts. We pray for ourselves. And we ask for your grace and mercy. We ask for your way and will in our lives and in our world. We offer prayers for peace. We pray for those who are peacemakers. We pray for our nation and our leaders. Our prayer is that you would work through them to accomplish your purposes in our nation and world. We offer prayers for your church, for the sharing of your word this day. We pray that it would not return empty, but would accomplish its purpose. We pray that people would be encouraged in faith, and that people would come to know you in their lives. We offer prayers for this time together. We pray that our hearts would be open as you speak a personal word to each of us, that we would go from this place strengthened in our spirits, better able to live as you have called us to live, better able to serve you and to serve people in need that we encounter each day. Hear us now, we ask, as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This day, they bless our debt, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Scripture reading today is Luke 4, verses 16 through 30, and you can find it on page 58 of your Pew Bible. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he went to the synagogue, as his custom was on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and there was given to him a book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here also to your own in your own country.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there came a great famine over all the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all the synagogue were filled up with wrath. and they rose up to put him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down headlong. But passing through the midst of them, he went away. The word of God for the people of God.
Our order of service for the healing prayer is found in your bulletin. Let's be in the attitude of prayer. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for Lord, in your mercy. Amen. This time our ushers will wait upon us and we'll receive our offering. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gifts. We pray that you would receive all that we offer to you this day. Bless the gifts we've placed in the offering place, but bless our lives as well, we pray, and use both to your honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Now we'll sing "He Touched Me" on 367.
This morning is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. In your Pew Bible, it is, see if I can find it, page 62, New Testament. I'm going to be reading to you from the NIV, New International Version of the Bible. Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, that is what he was saying in chapter 6 of this of Luke, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some of the elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. They said, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house, and they found the servant well. Heavenly Father, in these moments we pray that you might speak to us anew through your word and your messenger. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking, were there times during my ministry when I was surprised by someone's faith? And this is the occasion that came to mind for me. As a pastor, we do a number of baptisms. And one of the churches I served, there was a lady, I would say she was in her 20s. I don't remember how the initial contact was made, whether she came to a worship service or she called me up on the phone and she said, I would like to be baptized. And most pastors will say, I would be happy to baptize you, but I would like to talk to you first. And usually when I talk to people who are not in the church I serve, oftentimes they have kind of a partial understanding of baptism. And I want them to have a meaningful understanding of baptism so that baptism itself will be meaningful for them. So we made arrangements for her to come to the church. And she came one day, and she and I sat in the fellowship hall. And so I asked her a simple question, why do you want to be baptized? And then she told me the story of how she came to Christ and how her life had been changed. And she, I don't remember all the details, but I know it was a very emotional experience for her when she gave her life to Christ and accepted him as Lord and Savior. And it changed her. And she cried when she was telling me the story. And I think I got some tears in my eyes as well. And I was, maybe surprised is not the right word. Maybe the word is amazed. And I thought at the time, and she was not active in a church anywhere as far as I know. I thought at the time, I wish, I pray that everyone that desires to be baptism would come with that kind of an experience, a life-changing experience. Baptism, we are taught, is an outward sign of an inward and spiritual experience. She had already been baptized when she came to me. She had this inward spiritual experience of Christ and Christ's Spirit in her heart, and the baptism itself was just an outward sign of what had already happened for her. When we read the scriptures, there are very, very few times when Jesus is surprised, or a better word, amazed by someone's faith. Most often, he is surprised by a lack of faith. That scripture that was read moments ago in Luke 4 is one of those times when he was surprised by a lack of faith. He'd gone to Nazareth, his hometown where he'd grown up, the place where people knew him as Joseph's son, the carpenter's son, and he went to the synagogue, and as was the custom for teachers, he read the scriptures from the book of Isaiah, and he finished reading, and he returned the scroll to the attendant, and then he said to the people, "This day, this passage has come true as you heard it being read." And they could not believe what they were seeing and what they were hearing. And because of Jesus' presentation, and because they knew him as the boy that grew up in Nazareth, they had a hard time accepting what he was saying, because this very scripture was descriptive of the coming Christ, God's anointed, the Messiah. And Jesus knew what was in their spirits, and he said that in the days of Elijah, there was so little faith in the people of Israel that in order to show God's mercy, the prophet went to a widow who lived in Zarephath and also healed a Syrian by the name of Naaman who had leprosy. These were all Gentile folk. These were not people of Israel. And so he compared them to Israel of back then. And they were so angry, they took him outside the city and they were going to kill him. And Jesus just walked through them. The power of God was not heard. So that's kind of the setup for what's happening here. And so in Luke 7, we have the account of the healing of a Roman officer, a centurion's servant. Servant is a nice word for slave. He was a slave. And this healing is not so much about the servant, but it's about the Roman officer. In the course of this account, Luke tells us Jesus was surprised. Jesus was amazed when he saw this man's faith. And he said, "I tell you, I have never found faith like this, not even in Israel." People Jesus came to minister to did not believe in the way that this man, a Gentile, a Roman soldier, part of the occupation army, they did not believe the way he believed. Luke tells us that this officer's servant, and depending on the version of the Bible you read, you get the impression that this was not just a good servant or a useful servant. He was a loved servant. He was sick. He was near death. There are three things that you, at least three things you never want to hear the doctor say. One is, "Oops." Another is, "I've never seen this before." And the third is, "This is bad. This is bad." Remember, Luke was a physician by trade, by vocation. And he says this was the third one. It was bad. It was so bad that the officials, the officers' servant was near death. He was dying. And this Roman officer had heard that Jesus was close by. And someone had told him about Jesus. And so he sent some friends asking that Jesus would heal his servant. Now, Jesus was busy, but he was never too busy to respond to a call of human need. Never too busy for anyone, even today, who needs and wants him. So Jesus came and he got near the house. The officers sent word that Jesus, he said, "Don't trouble yourself to come into my house." One of the first things we noticed about this Roman officer was he felt unworthy. He said, "Sir, don't trouble yourself. I don't deserve to have you come into my house. Neither do I consider myself worthy to come to you in person." And this, one of the second things we see about him was that he didn't feel that it was necessary for Christ to be present in person. The officer said, "Give the order, and my servant will get well." Jesus was amazed by the man's faith. One of the books I was reading, I think it's Charles Allen's book, Touch of the Master's Hand, he says in that book, there are two basic conditions by which we receive the power of Christ. The first one is humility. There was a while back, there was a great preacher, well-known preacher, by the name of Harry Ironside. Have you heard that name before? Maybe, maybe not. A long time ago. He was a well-known preacher, and he got to thinking about this idea of being humble, and he felt that he wasn't humble enough. So he's talking to a friend and asked his friend what he could do about it. And this is what the friend said. "Well, why don't you make a sandwich board?" You know what a sandwich board is. It's a board that you put over your shoulders. It's got a message on the front and a message on the back. He says, "Why don't you make a sandwich board and put on it the plan of salvation and wear it up and down through downtown Chicago for a day." What do you think would happen to somebody that did that even now in Chicago, a sandwich board with the plan of salvation front and back? Well, Harry Ironside followed his friend's advice, and it was a humiliating experience. As he returned home, took off the sandwich board, this is what he caught himself thinking. "There's not another person in Chicago who would be willing to do a thing like that." Pride. Pride still there. How do we grow in humility? True humility comes from seeing our insufficiency and Christ's all-sufficiency. As long as we feel adequate, as long as we feel like we have the resources, that we don't need Christ, we will not be humble. But the man knew there was absolutely nothing he could do for his servant. Not a thing. Perhaps he tried everything else. I don't know. We're not told. And so he turned to Jesus, whom he knew could heal the servant he loved. Hudson Taylor was a great pioneer missionary to China in the early days of mission work. He made this comment once: "All God's giants have been weak, people who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. The second condition, first condition, humility. The second condition is the belief that Jesus need not be present to work, not at least in a physical sense. The man used his experience as an officer. He says, "I'm a man under orders. I also give orders. I tell one soldier to go, and he goes. Come, and then he comes. Can my slave do this?" And he does it. So he understood the meaning of being under authority, and he said, "You give the order, my servant will be healed." And so Jesus was amazed. And another observation here is that the faith that was exercised was not the faith of the servant. The servant most likely had no idea what was going on. But it was the faith of the officer. And it tells us that sometimes Jesus heals not because of the faith of the person who is sick or needs help, but the faith of those who are praying for them. So it's important for us to remember that truth when we pray for people that perhaps don't know the Lord yet. There are, within this story, four steps in the centurion's faith. Because I think we all want to have great faith or strong faith or faith that is effective. And so in this story, for this officer, there are four steps. The first one, he became acquainted with Christ. He was not a Jew, as far as we know, but he'd heard the account from Jewish people about Jesus. And so he had some knowledge of what Jesus was doing and what Jesus was saying. So he acquired some information. He was acquainted with Jesus. There's an interesting part of this story, I think. When the people who came to Jesus requested his help, they said, "Well, you know, he really deserves to be helped because he loves our nation and he has built our synagogue." Charles Allen, in his little book, makes a little transfer here. He says of this official, "He supported the church." There are people sometimes who don't attend church, but they contribute to a church. I remember one community I lived in. There was a man in that community who he was the owner of a paper mill. He never came to our church. Some of his family did. But every year, he gave a significant gift to the church. He did that for a lot of churches in the community, really. But I always wrote him a letter and thanked him. I always wondered about him and what his personal faith was because I never had a chance to talk to him. But this man, Jesus didn't respond, I don't believe, because of the good works he had done, but for the man himself, it gave him a connection, and he was involved in such a way that he felt like he was a part of that community, and he cared about the church. He cared about the message the church was sharing. And so as he got involved in this way, it helped build his faith. He was a man of humility. As long as we feel we can get along by ourselves, we don't need faith in Christ. But he had that sense, and that helped build his faith. And this man believed in other people. He believed in his servant. In Roman culture, a servant was like, or a slave was like a piece of equipment. And when a piece of equipment broke down and couldn't be fixed, it was just thrown away. And so that was often the case in the relationship between the owner and the slave. But we see a different kind of relationship here entirely. We see a man who cares about people. He cared enough to help build the synagogue. He cared enough. And so he cared about people. I read this story several years ago. A minister in Dallas was being considered as the president of a seminary. And there was a search committee that came to his church and they interviewed him. And they talked to some of the people on the staff and they were favorably impressed. And afterward, they asked to speak to the custodian of the church. They talked to everybody else. Now they wanted to talk to the custodian. And this pastor was surprised and said, "Sure, you can talk to our custodian, but why?" And the moderator of the committee said, "We've checked your references, and they're glowing, of course. It's what we expected from your colleagues and superiors. But we're interested to know, what we want to know is what your employees say about you." I thought about that. I wondered what the custodians in the churches I served would say about me. But you see, this Roman official, officer, he cared even about the smallest people in terms of their responsibilities. He cared about ordinary people. He cared. And so if you want steps to grow your faith, try to get to know Christ as well as you can. Be supportive of the work of Christ. Be a humble person as best you can. And believe in people. Care about people. John Piper once quoted Billy Graham saying, "God will not reward fruitfulness." That kind of goes against our thinking, doesn't it? "God will not reward fruitfulness, but he will reward faithfulness." This centurion, this officer, was faithful. And personally, I would like to be more like him than I am. Heavenly Father, there's so much that we don't understand, and we can't understand. But we pray that you would help us to grow spiritually, and may our faith increase. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing song is on the insert, "I Will Sing the Wondrous Story." Please stand, if able, for this song.
Please join me for the benediction as it's printed in the bulletin. Grant us, O Lord,
that we have said on our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.